I want to draw your attention today to this passage of scripture that was read in your hearing in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I want to begin this morning, and then I want to continue it again at 6:30. So, Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. So this is the Bible. And at this juncture in the service, after we've sung to God and prayed to God and talked to one another, now God speaks to us as the Word of God is opened up and explained and applied to each one of us. So it's important because the Bible has had enormous influence in all the world. There's no one ghetto in one country or one race of people that study it, but all Asia, Africa, the Americas, Australia, New Zealand, the islands of the seas, we all acknowledge that the Bible is a very important book. And so I'm going to explain to you about one part. It's in the Gospels. There are four Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And this is Mark's Gospel. And Mark's Gospel begins the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the wonderful, simple statement, almost words of one syllable. And he tells us that's his conviction about the Lord Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And so he justifies that in everything that he says in these next 16 chapters. And he's saying, this is why I believe he is the Son of God. And that's why those of us who are members of the church, we have professed that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. So the immediate context of this verse in chapter 5 is very interesting. It goes back to really chapter 4 and verse 35, where the power and grace of Jesus Christ is shown in four incidents. First of all, his power over creation. They're in the boat and there's a terrible storm. It's almost satanic in its suddenness and its violence. And the waves are huge on just the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples are fearful. They are fishermen, but they've not seen something as bad as this. And Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves, and there's a great calm. His power over creation. And he does that on many occasions. There's a wedding feast where the bride's father and mother are very embarrassed. They've run out of wine, and Jesus turns great pots of water into wine. Or he judges a fruit tree that is barren and it dies. He's got power over creation. And then he's got power over Satan. And sometimes when you see the inhumanity of man and the cruelty and the horror stories of what's going on, you know, there's an evil power at work, that there is a God of this world who is so wicked. But Jesus is more powerful. And Jesus meets a man in Gadara. We call him the Gadarene demoniac. A legion of demons is in this man. And he's naked and he snaps chains with preternatural strength and lives amongst the tombs, and everyone is horrified of him. And Jesus heals him, delivers him, changes him. He's, a great phrase has entered the English language, clothed and in his right mind. And he wants to follow Jesus. Jesus says, go home and show what grace has done in your life. Jesus' power over creation, his power over demons. And then there's his power over disease. Every kind of disease is healed by him, every kind. Men and women, boys and girls, in the last stages of incurable disease, and Jesus can heal them. Never a failure. And there's this woman with an issue of blood for 10 years, and every doctor with their weird suggestions and payments for cures that can't cure. She comes in desperation and is healed. He has power over your disease. And then there's this great story of his power over death. And so this is the scene and the background to it here in Mark's Gospel. And if you read the Gospels, then these things will come and become more familiar to you the more you read them. And so he's accurately telling us he was a young man. He was a teenager when Jesus was alive. He met him then and ran away in the garden, and people tried to arrest him, but he left his outward garment in their hands and fled for his life, and later repented of his cowardice and followed the Savior and was given the privilege of recording this gospel. And the result is that we have four wonderful gospels. And when you read them, we Christians say, hallelujah, what a Savior. So the healing of Jairus' daughter took place over a matter of a few hours. And it was a journey. And there are other incidents and people he meets on the way. And it's a journey that's brought you in the first days of a new year. It's brought you to our congregation. And we're glad to see every one of you here. And you've come where Jesus Christ meets with us every Sunday, where we're gathered in his name. He's there, and he's there for your good and for your blessing and for hope in the despair that you might have known in 2025. And 2026 can be a much better year for you, a wonderful year for you, if this Jesus, then, with all this power that he has, is your Lord and your Savior. So you must see yourself at different stages. You see yourself, first of all, listening to him, sitting down and listening to him at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he's got off the boat. They've come back now to this side, the Galilee side, and there they are. The women have heard that Jesus has come, and they've stopped their many chores, and the children have stopped playing, and the men have stopped working in the fields, and they've all hurried, and the news has spread all around. Jesus of Nazareth is here. Jesus is here. And they've packed in, and sometimes he was standing in the prow of a ship as it grated ashore. It was his pulpit, and he spoke to them. Other times he was there on a rock amongst them, teaching them and speaking to them. You are like that today, and our Savior has brought you here because he has things to say just to you. So the service goes on, and then there's an interruption, and everyone is rather embarrassed when there's an interruption, when when the pastor is preaching. It rarely happens. Everyone looks around. And what happens is that one of the most prominent men in this little community, an anonymous community, this man called Jairus, one of the elders and leaders, pushes his way. They all make way for him, and he comes to Jesus. And he tells him his great need of him. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So you've not known our Saviour. You've got some respect for this person, but you really don't know him personally. And your life, with all the activity and the heartaches and the encouragements, it still hasn't been an abundant life for you. But Jesus can make it an abundant life. And so the first thing that we see here is how the Lord Jesus encourages us to trust in him. You can trust Jesus Christ. He's not out for your money. Not at all. You can trust him because he's a very loving Savior. And he can help you greatly in your life. There'd been a crisis in a family, like crises come into our families. We phone our sister, we call Dad. We tell him, we got a problem. And it happened here. They had a little girl, just a little girl, 12 years old. And we don't know her name. She wasn't well. And they put her to bed and she got perspiring. And they went to the medicine woman in the little town there. And she had herbs and various things. It didn't help. It didn't help. And she got unconscious. And the mother was desperate. And he's the top man in the synagogue. He's a very devout man. He's a very religious man. And she says, you can do something? Are you praying? Who can save the life of their daughter? And he's no doctor. And he's been praying and praying like he's never prayed before. God, spare his little girl. He must have heard of Jesus of Nazareth. The whole country was buzzing after a year of Jesus' ministry. Did you know what he said? Do you know what he did? Do you know what he said last week? You know, he cleansed some lepers last week. And he knew of the controversies that happened in synagogues where when the opening was given to all mature men, if they wanted to speak, they could speak. And Jesus spoke and spoke about the kingdom of heaven. And the leaders didn't like it at all. They were very angry. He seemed to be promoting himself and talking about himself, making claims about himself that he was had a unique relationship with God, and he was a messenger from God, and they should listen to what he had to say. And in one synagogue, they had to throw him out. They almost killed him in one place. And what would I do? Jairus said, what would I do if he came? And I arrived on the Sabbath day, and there was Jesus. Would I go up to him and put my hand on his shoulder and say, I appreciate it if you just listened this morning. I'd appreciate it if you didn't speak. Would I say that? Herod Antipas, he knew the king didn't like anyone with messianic complexes wandering around and preaching and stirring up the people. Maybe he thought, ah, well, that issue will never arise. We are such a little place, and Jesus will never come to our community, will he? And then two things happen, and things like that happen. That you've put away religion from, you know, you finally decided when you were a teenager that there was no God, or, you know, it was nice for those that wanted it. And so you've really lived without God a long time. And then things happen. And things happened in Jairus' household. His daughter, so ill, and no one able to heal her. And so he thinks about Jesus and all he's heard about his power to even raise the dead. And he focuses on him. And it often comes like that, doesn't it? That we have a God graciously sends a shockwaves into our lives, and what can we do? Who can help? He's no longer worried about political issues and the Roman occupation and tensions in the synagogue between Pharisees and Sadducees, and his daughter's dying. And it's a race against time. And we're a day nearer death, aren't we? It's there before us, every one of us. It's appointed. And are we ready for it? To meet our God? And then there's a knock on the door, and a servant comes in. He says, oh, have you heard? Jesus of Nazareth is here. He's on the beach and he's preaching. Everybody's gone. The town is empty. Everyone is going and listening to him. He didn't care what the synagogue leadership is going to think about his response to Jesus. His daughter's dying. Or what other men in the Federation of Synagogue Rulers at their annual conference are going to talk when they discover that he went to see Jesus and cried to Jesus for help. He must. And perhaps some of you have come and your family members are a little perplexed that you've come on a Sunday to church. That's not like you. Are you all right? You're not getting some religious mania, are you? They're thinking, they're saying. And you are concerned. I've got to know who God is. Surely it's not all about luck. It's not all about chance. There's a purpose to life. And I want to know what that purpose is. And if I'm going to meet God, I want to know him before I meet him and be all right with him, that it's okay between God and me, and that there'll be some mediator, some advocate, someone who'll speak up for me, somebody who knows me and loves me and has some influence with God, that's what I want. That's what I need. So death was very much on his mind. And the death of someone he loved so much was on his heart. And here was Jesus. And maybe that's a great help to you today, that you've come to the right place where our Savior moves among us and sits alongside us and nudges us and enlightens us. And so he goes to Jesus. And what a humble posture he takes. He falls at his feet. He lies before him, face in the dust. It's a picture of abasement. You remember there were two groups of people that came to Jesus. There were first Pharisees and others who so filled with hostile to his message that he wasn't preaching legalism like they did. But he warned them about the dangers of this and preached about God's mercy and God's grace. And you'll remember that they devised questions, trick questions. So whatever answer he would give to them, they could turn it on him and against him. Do you believe in giving tax to Caesar, the occupying power? If he said yes, he believed in it, then he's pro-Roman and not one of us. And if he said no, they would go to the Roman authorities and they would say he's preaching rebellion. And so they devised it, and so two or three of them would come and they would be oily and pretend to be so interested in what he would have to say, and they would ask him this question. And Jesus said, well, you give to Caesar what's Caesar, and you give to God what's God's. And what's on the coin there? Whose insignia? Whose picture? It's of Nero. It's, pay your taxes. If Nero keeps the peace, if there's a police presence and the roads are safe, well, you owe that. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's, he says to them. And they are baffled again and again. They don't get the better of him. But they themselves are no better. That's one group who come to him, and another group are four friends. They have a dear friend who's got more and more paralyzed, and they carried him on a stretcher, the four of them, walk miles for Jesus to heal him, and they can't get through because of the crowd. They open the roof and they lower him down, and he's healed. And a mother brings her daughter, a father brings her son. They have convulsions and they're hurting themselves. They go to Jesus and they speak to Jesus about their great need. And they never leave the same way as they came. They go away with a peace. They go away with a thankfulness. They go away with a deep trust in the God whose Father is the Father of Jesus, the Savior. And so it was, like you've come here to the presence of Jesus today, and he went to the presence of Jesus. Then you will notice this. He prescribed to Jesus what he expected our Lord to do. You'll see that, the actual manner in which he expected Jesus to heal his daughter. Do you see that? He doesn't say, my daughter's at the point of death, please help me. But there was a certain course of action. Come, you come with me now, he says. And then he says, and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and she will live. And he'd hurried out of the house that day, like we do, and to get to church on time. And he had a certain image of what Jesus has to do now to help him. And that he informs Jesus then what he expects. we're just like Jairus, aren't we? We don't just bring our need, our weakness, our ignorance, our longings to him. But we tell Jesus the precise way in which we expect him to help us. Just like Jairus did. And it's easy for me to spot that and talk about it and give you a mild rebuke if that's your case. But in the pain of the providence that sometimes humbles us and breaks our hearts, it's just what we do, what we all do, what I do. Because you Christians here, you know that Jesus didn't need to go with him. He didn't need to touch the little girl for her to be healed. There was once a Gentile, a Roman, an Italian, a centurion, and he had a servant because he was a high officer, and this servant cooked for him and washed for him. And they discussed strategy the night before a battle, and he healed his wounds afterwards, and they talked over things, and they were very close. And one day, the man was ill, and they got the regimental doctor to come and look at him. He couldn't help him. The man was very, very ill. And this was a very good man. All the centurions that we meet in Scripture are men of outstanding moral and intellectual stature. And he leaves the camp and he goes searching for Jesus, and he comes to Jesus and he finds him, and he says to Jesus, my servant, he's my best friend, really. And he's so ill. And I'm here for your help. And you remember what Jesus said? Oh, I'll come with you now. He said, there's no need for you to come. No need for that. He said, you just will it. You can heal him from here. We say, it just takes a flash of the will that can, and the dead are raised. A flash of the will that can, and the dead are raised. And he goes back. Jesus has said, it's all right. He arrives back at the camp, and there's his servant up, and sorry, I was so late getting up today. And he asked people, when did he get well then? And it was the time that he had spoken and brought the need to Jesus. Do you do that? Do you go to God and just lay it before him, roll it out before him and tell him? The centurion said, I'm a man under authority, and I say to one man, and he comes, and I say to another man, go, and he goes. Jesus has that authority. What faith. And yet, Jesus encourages us by his patience with Jairus. We're told in verse 24, so Jesus went with him. That's grace. There's no little lesson saying, I don't need to come with you. You know, you've got to have a bigger view of me than you have, Jairus. I don't need to, just leave it up to me, Jairus. I don't have to be there. There's none of that. In other words, when you pray to God, when you begin, you get so muddled between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and sanctification and justification. And you've got the Father dying on the cross. And it doesn't matter. It didn't matter at first. You don't have to be absolutely theologically correct and perfect when you begin this pilgrimage of walking through life with the Lord Jesus and getting help from him and speaking to him. Jesus encourages us here then.
Yes.
Lay it before, tell Jesus, speak to Jesus. Please do that. And so they're on a journey and then they meet delays. Jairus walking as fast as etiquette would allow and hurrying Jesus and everyone coming behind him, and that slows it down, the big gang and the three chief disciples, Peter, James and John, quickly behind him and others, and they're going, and then there's a delay, a couple of delays. Jairus dancing from one foot to the other. Come on, my daughter's dying. Come on, come on. And there are delays. There'll be delays in 2026. Mary and Martha had a brother. Oh, they loved him to bits. Three single people working a family farm together. And then one day, Lazarus, their brother, is so ill. And they went and told Jesus. He whom you love is sick, they said. And Jesus stayed there. Stayed there a day or two. A delay. Isn't he loving? Isn't he compassionate? Doesn't he love us? He loved Lazarus. Why didn't he come? What was all this about? And there are delays, and the delays of God are usually intended to strengthen our faith, that Mary and Martha didn't just see how Jesus could heal someone sick, but raise someone from the dead who'd been dead 3 days. They saw the glory and power of who is this man who can raise the dead? Who is he? Do you know who he is? Do you know on the third day he rose from the dead himself? He lives in the power of an endless life, this Jesus. He's at the right hand of God, the man of glory. They learned that by the delay. So, there's a nasty delay. They're going around the bend in the road and Jairus sees two men walking towards him. Oh no, his servants walking seriously, coming towards him. Not the easiest of men. And they come up to him and they say, your daughter's dead. I hope they didn't say it like that. But if you read the passage there in front of us in the Word of God, it seems they just blurted it out. They didn't come and hug him and weep and say, not good news. So sorry, so sorry. Here are men, and he's always talking about God to us. always warning us about our drinking and about our womanizing and rebuking us and telling us, and look what he's got him. What has God done for him? And now he's got some craze about Jesus, and he's going to bring Jesus into it. You know, this is religion gone mad. And there was their chance then to humble him, get him to see rationally the hopelessness of every situation. That's what it is. And there's even a barb. The barb is, and don't bother to bring Jesus any closer to her. The girl is dead, and who can do anything about it now? In other words, death levels the playing field for us all. Death always has the last word, so don't bother to bring the teacher a step nearer. He's as helpless before the grave as anybody. No one can do anything. This is the hostility of a world that thinks the only thing is this 70 years, that's it. That's what you think. And then you're snuffed out. There's nothingness, unimaginable nothingness. No one you know, no memories, nothing, nothing at all. And that's supposed to be the meaning of life. After all, the purpose and the planning and the relationships that attended and grow and mature, and we see the hand of God in the glories of his creation and in the kindness and love that we meet in fellow Christians, and nothing at all. Well, yeah, you get inspiration. You meet, it's a humble congregation and nice people, and you enjoy singing the hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and you sometimes get inspiration from a sermon, and there are friends there that you see every Sunday, and it's good, and we're happy for you. But, you know, we don't need that. We have no needs for you. This little Jesus that people in the world have, perhaps you're in a situation and there's a dead end. There's no way out. And you're thinking, well, yeah, I could come back to this church on a Sunday. I'm not put off by it. There seem to be ordinary nice people here, but Jesus can't do anything about death, about my problems. No one can cope with the grave. We go home, we return to a very sad providence, and that's it. And that's now tears and despair. She's dead. It's too late. She's dead. Don't bother him. Verse 36, don't be afraid. Just believe. Verse 36, that's what he says. He says, go on believing, he says. It's the continuous sense. Jairus, when you came to me, your daughter was very ill. But she was still alive, but there was great danger. You came to me. You brought your desperate need to me. You had some belief I could do something to help you at this time. You didn't think I was a fraud. You thought I could help. You had faith to fall before me in front of everyone. The ruler of the synagogue, you fell down before him and you beseeched me. Go on believing. Don't let your despair win now. You've come here. Keep coming. Keep looking. Keep praying. Those fears that say to you, well, we're all going to die anyway, and we'll never see her again, and Jesus is helpless. Keep those terrible fears from you now. Jesus puts his arm maybe through him. Come on, come on. We're going. In his actions, in his words, Jesus Christ is the Lord of grace. And he keeps walking to Jairus' house and the dead girl, that the servants think nothing's going to come of this. And Mark doesn't tell us about Jairus' thoughts, but Jesus still believes. Jesus believes. And he goes. He goes to see the little dead girl. He doesn't shake hands with Jairus and say to him, well, sorry, old man. I'm terribly sorry. It's such a great loss for you. And, you know, I've got this group there waiting for me to finish my sermon down on the beach, and they're all waiting there. And so I've got to go back to them. So next time you need me, try to get in contact a bit earlier that I can come, and then maybe I could help. It's not like that. It's never like that. He keeps coming to us. There was a time, perhaps some years ago, when you had a little surge of interest in the gospel, and then it went. You were a teenager and you were struck in camp and you were very, very close, and then other things have come. There was a time when your marriage was a bit rocky and you asked God to really help, and he did help. And now there are trials and tribulations. Don't be afraid. Keep trusting. Keep coming. Keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the adequacy of my Lord and Savior to help you too. That's his word. Don't be afraid. That's why you came. You didn't realize that there were some fears there. But there are. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Keep trusting in Jesus. Follow the instinct that grace has created in your heart that makes you want to know this Lord, wants to know his presence with you, his help to you day by day. Go on believing. Campbell Morgan was once the minister at Westminster Chapel, a famous chapel in Buckingham Gate near Buckingham Palace. And he's got a book called The Great Physician. And he writes these words: I can hardly speak about this passage without becoming personal. I remember a time about 40 years ago when my own first lassie lay at the point of death. I called for Jesus then, and he came. He surely said to our troubled hearts, don't be afraid, keep trusting me. But he didn't say, she shall be made whole. She was not made whole. On an earthly plane, she passed away to the life beyond. He did say to her, Talitha Kumi, little lamb, arise. But in her case, he didn't mean stay on the earth level. He meant he needed her. Jesus needed her. Jesus took her to himself. She's been with him all these years as we measure time. And I've missed her every day. His words, keep trusting me. They've been my strength ever since she died. You see, if Jesus says, go on believing, Jairus, that I am adequate for you for an experience that you've never known before, the loss of someone very precious and very important to you, a great loss, and all that is uncharted territory to you. I haven't finished with you yet, Jairus. If I am adequate, then there's hope. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid now of the future. Go through this new year with him. He's adequate to help us in healthy years. And he's adequate to help us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Then we're not afraid of any evil. His rod, his staff, he comforts us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. You need my Jesus. You need our Jesus, the one who brought you here. Start to talk to him. Whisper your name to him. Deal with him. Lord, bless your word to us this morning. Make Jesus Christ here, close to us, ready to receive us, to become our Lord and our Saviour. Do us much good, we pray. Glorify your name by new life which you sustain in us, that we don't go through 2026 alone, but with you. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.